G'day and welcome to the Funeral Fix podcast.
I'm Oliver Thompson.
And I'm Yaz Trelope.
The Funeral Fix podcast brings you informative, engaging and inspiring discussions about all things funeral celebrancy, including working with grief, the art of ritual and ceremony, and how, as aspiring or highly qualified funeral celebrants, we have the opportunity to make a huge impact on our communities.
We believe that the work of funeral celebrants is truly special and deserves the spotlight. So whether you're a seasoned celebrant, a fresh face in the industry, or just someone curious about the beautiful world of funeral ceremonies, you're in the right place.
Each episode will be a deep dive into the heart and soul of funeral celebrancy. And we're not just scratching the surface. We're peeling back the layers, exploring the artistry, the compassion, and the incredible stories that make this profession so meaningful.
We're not shying away from the tough conversations either. Grief is a part of life. And as celebrants, we embrace it with empathy and grace. We'll be sharing insights on navigating those sensitive moments and creating ceremonies that truly honour and celebrate life.
So whether you're a funeral industry professional, a celebrant in the making, or simply someone seeking inspiration, join us every fortnight as we dive deep into the world of funeral celebrancy.
It's time to level up your understanding, get inspired, and celebrate the extraordinary world of funerals with the Funeral Fix podcast. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Funeral Fix podcast. In this episode, we're diving into one of our favorite topics, boundaries. We talk a lot about boundaries in the Funeral Fix online course because as funeral celebrants, we can often find ourselves as pillars of support for people that are grieving, and sometimes the emotional toll can be quite hectic. Setting boundaries, however, helps us maintain a healthy balance between empathy and professional detachment.
That's right, Ollie. Boundaries is a really, really big one. But why are they so essential? And I think for us as funeral celebrants, this is really something important for us all to explore. Because boundaries act as a protective shield. They guard us from emotional exhaustion and burnout, and they really help us to create a safe space for both ourselves, but also equally as importantly and often unrecognizably, they also keep our families and our clients safe as well. So boundaries work both ways.
Absolutely.
So in today's episode, we're going to explore some of the boundary building exercises and strategies that you and I have developed over our years as funeral celebrants, which is going to be very exciting, I think. I love this topic so much. And I've learned a lot from you for that matter.
It resonates with a lot of people, this particular topic. So first and foremost, I think it's crucial to identify and acknowledge our own limits. So understanding what emotionally drains you and recognizing when it's perhaps time to take a step back is really important. So I think this self-awareness is like the pinnacle or the cornerstone of building strong boundaries. I know when I first started out in this industry, I think there was an element of me that wanted to say yes all the time and really wanted to be a bit of a people pleaser. And I think so many of us are brought up that way. We have empathy, which can, you know, extend so far, but at the same point in time, it can really become a bit detrimental to us personally, professionally. And like you sort of touched on, Yaz, it doesn't necessarily give the best information or the best experience for the people that we're working with. So then I started to realize that I probably wasn't really giving the greatest service to my families or my clients. I wasn't, like, I'm not a grief specialist, you know. There are professionals out there that train and help people day in, day out with dealing with grief and dealing with loss. And that's not my area of expertise. So I think the thing that I started to realize was if I'm not giving my families and my clients the information that they need, I'm almost doing them a disservice by pretending that I could be this person or that I am the right person for helping them in their particular situation. So I had to be really clear and just let them know this is my role and this is what you know, I'm prepared to do or what I can do. And this is perhaps where you might be able to go to find the information or the help you need.
Mm. It's so true, Ollie. I think that for all of us, communication is really key, especially when we are finding our feet as funeral celebrants. But even as time goes on as well, I think we're naturally drawn to this work because we're empathetic. Yeah. We want to help people. We are compassionate souls who generally tend to gravitate towards this type of work. But what that can often mean, the other side of the coin, is that we give so much of ourselves that then that can start to impact on our own mental health and our own ability to give in a way that we really need to show up for this role.
Yep.
So really communicating with your clients and defining your role and expectations with the families that you work with is so important. It is like setting the foundation first and foremost that as a funeral celebrant, this is the extent of your involvement and where your responsibilities professionally start and where they end. So that really firm boundary around your professionalism within your role of the funeral celebrant is really important to communicate with them. So that really tends to prevent any misunderstandings, but it also fosters a healthier working relationship with your clients because they know what you're capable of, what you're there to do. They feel safe with you to share the things that are relevant to the ceremony. But anything outside of that, they know, okay, this isn't the person I need to go to for that. Or maybe it is if you're trained in grief counseling, which some funeral celebrants are. But I know in my case, I'm not either. So while I'm absolutely an empathetic, caring person, I can't give them the support that they need and they deserve. So it is also really beneficial for them. And I was very similar when I was starting out, Ollie. I didn't really know. The lines weren't defined for me where my role started and where it finished. So I kind of just wanted to launch in and give all of myself to my clients. But I too realized that it's really important to explore the nature of your role, and it will be quite individual for everyone depending on your skills and your comfort level and what you're prepared to do and what you can professionally do. But for me, I realized that those boundaries were there and so important to put into place, which was uncomfortable because I haven't really been good with boundaries. Typically speaking, I have generally been a bit of a people pleaser too growing up, and it's really, this work has really allowed me to step into feeling comfortable with setting boundaries, which has affected like this work in so many ways, other parts of my life, and benefited not just me, but the people that I have in my circle as well.
Actually, one thing you brought up about healthier working relationships as well made me think about us as celebrants and the other people that we work with in the industry. So a funeral director, for example, right? So understanding where your role starts and where your role ends, what your expectations are of the role, and not stepping on other people's toes or getting involved in areas that aren't necessarily part of your remit. For example, understanding kind of what the funeral director might have already put in place, and understanding that if you make a suggestion or start to take on roles that aren't your role as a funeral celebrant, you could actually be creating a lot more confusion, a lot more work with other people in the industry, like the funeral director that might be working on that particular ceremony, for example. So I think even with what you mentioned there about the boundaries, though it was kind of more about the emotional management from a boundary perspective, I think it also works the other way. So that the funeral director essentially stays in their lane and you stay in your lane. I think that's part of, you know, the healthy working relationship as well. Just when you talked about that, I thought that's kind of a really poignant point as well.
It is, absolutely, Ollie. And I think we really encourage people through the Funeral Fix Online Celebrant course to think outside the box and to have these wonderful ideas and suggestions. But to your point, it's also really important to respect the working relationships that you have. And that may mean staying in each other's lane, or it may also mean calling the funeral director before speaking to the family and say, hey, have you locked in a venue? Because I've got an idea for this. Yeah. Or, hey, I'm thinking maybe we could set up the ceremony like this before I go to the family. Are you okay if I suggest that, or is there limitations based on X, Y, and Z? So again, it's about feeling really comfortable asserting yourself and saying, you know, hey, I've got an idea, or yes or no, and not feeling like you're going to hurt someone's feelings. Yeah. And also, yeah, as you said, kind of not overstepping the mark a little bit and respecting all of the working relationships within you, because obviously when it comes to planning a funeral, there's so many logistics involved and there's so many moving parts that kind of coming in and having all of these amazing suggestions can absolutely overstep a boundary with the funeral director or other people involved in the planning of that event. So
yeah,
I think, again, it really... to hone in on that point, communication. Just it's all about communicating with your clients, with the other stakeholders in that event that you're working with, to make sure that everyone's boundaries are really respected, yours included, and that that ultimately will also give your clients a much better result as well.
So, Yaz, I know you actually have some brilliant techniques and rituals that you use, especially for ceremonies or families you've worked with that have been quite difficult. So do you want to share a little bit about how you go about kind of marking the end of that relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I learned quite early on. Was for me, I found that I had a little bit of trouble transitioning from my professional life into my personal life. So that might be coming home from a particular ceremony or a really invested meeting with a family and then kind of coming home and putting my mum hat on. I felt like I needed to create a little ritual in that transition time. So sometimes that might be me just staying in the car for a few extra minutes and just checking in with where I'm at. Have my boundaries been overstepped? Where are my emotions right now? Is everything kind of recalibrated so that I can come back into the home and I feel somewhat settled. Sometimes I go for an ocean swim. I really find that being in the ocean is really soothing. It's a wonderful way to, I guess, just cleanse off anything that I might be feeling. But I think my favorite strategy of all is my cord cutting visualization. And I do this a lot, Ollie. So it only takes a few minutes and I just close down my eyes and I imagine just any cords that might be attached to me from any of the families, even any of the people who have died, any kind of energetic cords that are attached to me.
Yeah.
And I just, in my mind, have a big pair of golden scissors and I cut these cords and I send them off with love and with respect, but they don't need to be attached to me energetically. And I feel like that's a really easy, simple and quick way to mentally separate myself from the emotional weight of the day. And it's kind of ritualizing those boundaries and giving me the opportunity just to check in to see with where I'm at.
Yeah, I really love that. And I know that a lot of people that have come through the course have really resonated with that particular ritual. So I think that's fantastic. And even the jumping in the ocean or a body of water can be so cleansing. I don't live super close to the ocean. And even if I did, it would take me a long time to find a park and probably cause extra frustration and stress. So I kind of tend to avoid that unless I really am desperate for a swim. But even just using a shower or a bath is like one way to cleanse. I know a lot of people, funeral celebrants, who go, I just need a shower the moment I get home. I totally resonate with that. There's something about
the cleansing of the water.
Cleaning that off and then moving on to cooking dinner or whatever it is you kind of have to do for the rest of the afternoon. Absolutely. But, you know, even after the ceremony, like could be a week, 2 weeks after, I know I've had a couple of situations where there is still a kind of like a clinging that you can kind of get from families. And I totally understand where it comes from, you know, like they're dealing with so much and you've kind of been on this journey with them, leading them up to the ceremony, leading them through the ceremony. And they naturally will develop a bit of a relationship with you because you're supporting them and you're guiding them through this time. But it's equally important to understand kind of where your relationship starts and ends with these families that you're working with, and knowing when is the right time to say no. And, you know, I think no can sometimes conjure up thoughts of it being a bit of a weakness, but it's actually like a declaration of respecting yourself and recognizing your own limitations. But you're also, for example, a family reached out to me. I think it was, I may have even spoke about this before, but reached out to me a week after the ceremony and, you know, were kind of reflecting on what the past week had been like and the ceremony and everything, and were giving me a lot of kind of information about how they were feeling from a real personal grieving point of view. And it was way beyond my scope of support. It was way beyond kind of the relationship that we have from a professional point of view.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, what is the best thing that I can do for this particular family, but also the best thing that I can do for myself?
Yes.
And the reality was I'd done about three or four other funerals since that one.
Yeah.
So I had moved on professionally, you know, doing my thing. And I think it's really difficult, if not impossible, to kind of sustain yourself in this role. But still keep those ties and those relationships to that level. So I kind of just said to this family, I completely understand where you're at. Do you have somebody that you can talk to? And just by sending that text message back, it did so many different things. It acknowledged their hurt and their grief. It also reminded them of what my role was and reset the relationship, and it gave them an opportunity to reach out to someone that might be able to help, whether that's a friend or a family or a professional, to be able to help them as well. And I generally give people a link to Griefline, which is free,
yeah,
and
so
it helps
good.
It helps people just talk about their grief and really process it.
No, I think that's such an important point, Ollie. And I keep in touch with a lot of my clients and families. I had a text message the other day on the 1 year anniversary of a service I did last year, and she said, I'm just sitting by the grave and thinking about the beautiful service that you did last year. And
wow.
It was so beautiful. And I don't mind that. But to your point, I feel like there's definitely a shift in the professional relationship at the conclusion of the ceremony, where that ability to really hold those people emotionally, because that's what we're doing in ceremony, but also in the lead up to it. There has to be an end point to that, because if you continue to carry all of your clients and hold them emotionally through their grief journey, it's too much.
Yeah.
And no one is equipped. Well, maybe some special, very special humans out there, but I can only speak for myself. I am not equipped to do that. And so, yes, you can maybe keep in touch with your clients, but it is on a very different level, where there isn't that kind of requirement of emotional support. To your point, Ollie, I think it's really a smart and loving thing to recommend a more suitable support network if that's the kind of boundary that's being overstepped for you. Lastly, but certainly not least, is prioritizing self-care. Self-care works really well with boundaries, and self-care is not a luxury, it's a necessity. So whether that may be a hobby or exercise, spending time with loved ones, I think it's really important to carve out those moments for yourself to recharge and rejuvenate, especially in the work that we do.
Yeah, and not feel guilty either about taking time.
Giving yourself permission.
Doing those things for yourself. Giving yourself permission, that you need a break or you need to do something for yourself. It's like you said, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity.
Yeah, yes. And it is okay and very much welcome and important to give to ourselves as much as we give to other people. So remember that by setting clear boundaries with yourself and with others, we not only protect ourselves but also enhance our ability to support the grieving families that we're working with.
Well, that wraps up everything. Well, not really everything. There's so much more on boundaries in the Funeral Fix online course. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribing, leaving a review and sharing this particular podcast, it would mean the absolute world to us. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Funeral Fix podcast. If you're ready to embark on your funeral celebrant training, visit our website www.funeralfix.com.au for immediate access. Use code PODCAST to save $120 off the full price course. Plus, enjoy peace of mind with our 30-day money-back guarantee.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Funeral Fix acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.